Welcome to Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Dennis Self to the broadcast. Dennis is the CIO of Electronic Arts, where he runs all major facets of the organization's IT operation. Prior to serving as CIO, Dennis spent time as EA's IT lead in Europe, as well as its IT lead in Asia. Prior to joining EA, Dennis was a senior manager in the strategy and operations practice at Deloitte Consulting. He also spent time as a director at HP, a manager within the strategic information technology practice at A.T. Kearney, and a manager in the information and technology strategy practice at Anderson Consulting. Dennis has a BS degree in MIS and an MS degree also in MIS, both from Old Dominion University, and an MBA from the University of Chicago. I recently caught up with Dennis in his office in Redwood City, California, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, People, as we spoke about his approach to talent management, Principle 2, Infrastructure, as Dennis discussed his vision for an always-on operation, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Dennis mentioned EA's IT-enabled business capabilities, including his team's use of advanced analytics, as well as a variety of other topics. Dennis Self, welcome to the Forum on World Class IT.
Thank you.
As CIO of Electronic Arts, you're in a very dynamic space and a fast-changing space, and I wonder if you could, at the outset here, take a moment to describe the business, your role in the company, as well as some of the dynamics in your industry.
Sure. So Electronic Arts is, at the end of the day, it's a gaming company. We make games, and some of the most notable games would include FIFA, Madden, The Sims, Need for Speed, Tiger Woods, and Battlefield Bad Company, and a whole host of others. So we have 36 different titles that we launch each year, and that number varies year to year, but we did launch 36 last year. We operate in over 50 countries throughout the world. Our top line revenue just short of $4 billion for the past year, and we're growing, like most gaming companies within the industry, quite significantly, particularly within what we call online gaming and mobile gaming. We have approximately 8,000 or 9,000 employees, and Electronic Arts is considered to be part of the media and entertainment industry in general. Other media companies, examples of that would be video. It would be music companies, gaming companies. All of them are in a general class of content or media content. All of them are pretty much solving for the same issues, if you will, around how to build and distribute media. And big mantra within the media and entertainment industry is how to go digital, because everything's going digital, whether we're talking about music, whether we're talking about video streaming, whether we're talking about gaming. And that has caused a significant amount of disruption in the media and entertainment industry. Certainly caused a lot of disruption within the gaming industry. Many have heard of software as a service. We are a software company at the end of the day. We make gaming software. We call it the GaaS rather than SaaS, and that's gaming as a service. And that has really created a lot of disruption within our company and our industry. And so my role as CIO of Electronic Arts, it's a very traditional role in the sense that I am responsible for most of the infrastructure requirements throughout the company. That includes hosting, data center, server, storage, network, database type offerings. That's the hardware-related, software and services-related offerings, implementation and support of those offerings. Also responsible for enterprise applications, which includes ERP, financial applications, HR applications, very traditional enterprise applications in that regard, as well as help desk site support, desktop support throughout the whole of the company. And over the past few years, IT here at EA has migrated from being sort of the back office, if you will, and up into being part of the business or being the business. And specifically, we are responsible for, I'll call it our digital enterprise applications for e-commerce, campaign management, data warehousing and analytics, as well as the 7x24 support operations for our online gaming services. So that's a unique differentiator here at EA For the IT team at here at EA, we're sitting side by side with our business partners to leverage IT to go to market with respect to online gaming services.
That's great. Fantastic background. Thank you, Dennis. I wonder if could you take a moment to talk about your priorities for the foreseeable future?
Sure. Over the past few years, with the disruption that's going on within the industry, and the disruption specifically is moving from what we call packaged goods, pressing our game software to disk and then shipping it out into the channel being Walmart, Best Buy in the U.S., and as an example, and certainly MediaMart and Carrefour in the Europe would be a couple of examples. We're migrating over to direct-to-consumer, where we have to build a relationship directly with our end consumers and distribute games and game services directly to those consumers. So that's been a huge remit. And as a result, we've got a significant IT priority to help build out direct-to-consumer capabilities. That is capabilities associated with monetizing digital games, so that's e-commerce capabilities. It's around managing the relationship with the consumer. That may be through multi-channel campaign management capabilities. It's around analytics capabilities so that we can watch what consumers are buying and what products those consumers are buying and make decisions very quickly to figure out what to double down on and what to kill and, you know, to continue to move the business to be relevant to our end consumers. So one major priority around direct-to-consumer. Another priority around trying to drive efficiency into EA. And when I talk about efficiency, we have over the past 3 years been driving a lot of transformation with respect to standardization and consolidation of business processes, development of single sources of data, and standardization of infrastructure throughout the company. And that's helping on the cost side of the equation to drive profitability, where our direct-to-consumer is play, if you will, our direct-to-consumer initiatives is helping to drive on the revenue side of the equation, because that's the big growth area for gaming companies. We do have priorities also around talent management, making sure that we're acquiring, training, and retaining top talent within the IT team here at EA. We have priorities around collaboration, and that's not only collaboration within the IT team, but it's also collaboration throughout the whole of the company. We're a fairly decentralized company. The studios that build our games have a lot of autonomy, but there are opportunities for them to share best practices and knowledge across those decentralized studios, and IT has a priority around trying to incubate collaboration technologies and incubate a culture of collaboration throughout the whole of the company. So that's a pretty significant priority for us. We also have a priority around always on, and here I'm talking specifically about operations. Fundamentally, IT at EA, we do have a lot of project work, and that's transformational project work, building out direct-to-consumer capabilities and building out efficiency capabilities, if you will, related to standardization and consolidation. And once those projects go into production, then we need to manage those services, those IT services, 7x24 with high availability or high reliability. And we do have priorities around ensuring that we are highly available, particularly with respect to our online gaming services. So those would be our big priorities for over the past years and certainly for this current fiscal year.
You mentioned at the outset, Dennis, that there's been a lot of disruption in this industry, broadly speaking, but also in gaming more specifically. And I can certainly connect the dots with some of what you've mentioned in terms of your priorities, but I'd love to dive a little bit deeper into how the business and how IT is organizing itself for this new digital reality.
So with the disruption, some of the very relevant things that IT is contributing to here at EA, and certainly EA is worrying about as a whole, would be direct-to-consumer capabilities. And again, that is comprised of probably five different major contributions from IT: e-commerce, campaign management, analytics, advanced analytics capabilities, infrastructure. Lots of infrastructure go into being an online or a SaaS-based business, and 7x24 operations. So that's a huge contribution that IT is making back to the business and for the benefit of EA. But some other aspects of direct-to-consumer or this disruption that's going on in our industry is really, if you will, seizing the benefits associated with social gaming, mobile gaming, and managing communities. And I would put that under the banner of collaboration with our consumers. And we do have particular business units, which IT supports, that are building out social gaming capabilities. So we've recently acquired a company named Playfish. That is a significant acquisition that allows EA to move very quickly into the world of social gaming and to compete in that space. And a lot of our traditional titles will manifest within that social gaming platform. So that's our, there's a very tight relationship between Playfish and Facebook and that whole world or that whole opportunity around social gaming. That's something that we're well aware of and certainly something that we're very aggressively trying to pursue so that we're relevant within that particular segment or aspect of gaming. Another area is around mobile gaming. We know that this is a significant area for growth in our industry. And a lot of our traditional titles are starting to surface or already has surfaced within mobile gaming. And the big aha within mobile gaming right now is tablets and particularly the iPad. And EA has been very aggressive about getting its games surfaced on the iPad and many other different types of tablets and smartphones. And despite the hype that there is around the iPad, we're also seeing significant growth around the Android platform, and we do anticipate that that'll be a big mobile gaming platform, and we're certainly pursuing that angle as well, in addition to some other mobile gaming platforms that are out there. And then third is really the management of our communities. This is collaborating directly with our consumers. We have over 115 million consumers within our consumer database, if you will, and those relationships are very near and dear to us, and gamers like to build relationships with other gamers. They like to enter into communities around a specific game genre, and we like to set up platforms that allow them to do that. That obviously is a benefit to EA to manage those relationships, to help them manage relationships, gamers to manage relationships with other gamers, and to just make it a more live experience that's not just playing the game, but it's also interacting with other gamers in community form.
Excellent. And as I hear you talk about all these different priorities, it occurs to me that security is an area that probably is vastly evolving in terms of the kinds of considerations you had in past years to this new reality as you look forward. Can you talk a bit about how you've thought about risk management and security, though, at least in those areas that fall under your purview?
Yeah, so when I introduced my role as CIO, I didn't mention that I am also responsible for security and risk management at EA. The SRM team, as we call it, ports into me, and that team is responsible for some of the traditional type of security and risk management responsibilities like IP protection, business continuity planning and disaster recovery, SOX compliance, PCI compliance, which is very important within the online world, as well as online fraud management. Very well aware of security issues within the gaming industry, within any content-based company, any media-based company. IP protection is always a key capability that we need to have. And then within the online gaming world, online fraud management is also a particularly big concern. And I think most folks in the world know about the PlayStation hack that occurred. We are particularly concerned about that. And it's interesting, a lot of companies saw for trying to protect credit card or payment method type of capabilities. But lately, the big thrust or the big concern is around protecting consumer data. This is called personal identifiable information, or PII. And that's something that, you know, that we know we have an obligation and responsibility to protect any consumer-related data. And in turn, that's protecting our reputation to give consumers good feeling that we're handling that data responsibly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the outset, Dennis, also that you are fundamentally a software business. And I wonder, in the balance, is that more a blessing? For instance, because essentially the majority of the people in outside of the IT department are tech savvy and recognize the value that IT has to the business? Or is it a curse because essentially you have 8,000 people who probably think they could be CIO in one way, shape, or form as well.
Yeah, so it is. It's both a it's a double-edged sword, right? And you live and die by the sword. But you know, living in the Bay Area here, there's a lot of high-tech companies, and I've worked with a lot of CIOs, talked with a lot of CIOs, and on the one hand, it's great to be part of, you know, the high-tech world where everybody sort of gets it and they understand the value of technology and the power of technology. And on the other hand, there are particularly within EA, we're a very creative company. We're a very entrepreneurial company, and we're a company that likes to experiment, particularly with new technologies. And trying to get visibility to all the different experiments running throughout the company, and also trying to manage all of those different implementations, if you will. It can be challenging at times, but as I like to tell my team, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere as an IT professional, because you really do have to be really on the leading edge in terms of understanding what's out there and, you know, what works and what doesn't work, what is a business value and what's not a business value, and being able to negotiate or serve as a diplomat out to our business partners to talk to them about how we can leverage technologies throughout the whole of the company, or talk to them about not moving forward with a particular technology because there is no true business benefit to EA. So we've got that mission here as IT professionals at EA, and I think it does make us better because there are so many tech-savvy professionals throughout the company, but it can be challenging when everything that you do could come under question or could come under scrutiny. But like I said, at the end of the day, it just makes us better IT professionals here to work in this type of company.
That's great. One of the areas clearly that IT can facilitate better business decisions is through advanced analytics, which, as you mentioned previously, is one of the priorities of your organization. Can you take us a couple layers deeper in terms of how you foresee using business intelligence and operational analytics more generally speaking?
Yeah, so this is a topic that is near and dear to me. I can see massive growth and explosion of growth throughout the company. I think there's general recognition that advanced analytics or our ability to be very analytical in nature, this is the future of the business. This is the future of EA. It's the future of gaming. It's the future of media and entertainment, particularly as we move into the direct-to-consumer space. Our ability to analyze on a factual basis what products are selling, what consumers are buying, this is really the heart and soul of a direct-to-consumer business. We get that. Building out those capabilities has not been easy. I think laying in the technology and collecting all of the data, that's very easy, and a lot of companies do that today. But finding the talent that knows how to go in and mine that data, analyze that data and figure out what decisions need to be made for the business benefit of EA, that's been tough, but we are making a lot of headway, and we do know that that's the key to our success in the future, is being able to analyze consumer information and product information on a fact basis, if you will. And we're seeing this requirement or this demand emanate out of our marketing teams, out of our sales teams, out of our finance organization, even in our studios who like to analyze game telemetry data, but it's pervading throughout the entire company. The requirements are and the demand is, and this is an area where I think IT can step up big, particularly as it relates to reporting tools, advanced analytics tools, data warehousing for the company, business intelligence in general, just a lot of different contributions that the IT team can make along with the businesses we build out these competencies for the company.
That's great. As somebody, Dennis, who's so clearly a business-savvy tech executive who, as you point out, operates in perhaps the most prominent tech center in the world, I'm particularly interested in getting your thoughts on trend. As you're a big reader and consumer of IT, what particularly excites you as you look forward?
Well, I think from a technology perspective, there's quite a few things we're watching. And by the way, it's nothing different than what all other CIOs are watching, right? We are watching what's happening around the cloud virtualization and SaaS space, if you will, in general. So we have a number of initiatives to evaluate and where it makes sense, good business sense, to implement cloud SaaS and virtualization offerings throughout the whole of EA, paying particularly close attention to advanced analytics capabilities. As I mentioned earlier, this is really where we need to go as a company to build up these competencies, and technology is a very powerful lever in that regard. We're also exploiting a lot of the value from collaboration technologies. We're a pretty big Microsoft and Cisco shop. And the more that we can lay in a collaboration platform, not only internally in the company, but externally with our consumers, the more EA stands a chance of winning, if you will, in the long term with respect to listening and managing and really collaborating with our consumers and with our employees throughout the whole of the company. We're watching very closely, you know, security and risk management type of technologies. There's a lot of very cool and interesting things that are happening in that space, and we are trying to take advantage of those technologies. And then we've always been taking advantage of what I'll call traditional business process streamlining technologies, whether it's MDM solutions, enterprise integration solutions, and certainly continuing forward with enterprise applications like ERP, finance, and HR applications. So that's really, and then I would have to throw in there something around mobile technologies or, you know, the consumerization of IT. We are trying to leverage the value associated with tablets and mobile applications and the like, and that's something that will continue. So from a technology perspective, lots of trends out there. We're evaluating most of them, and in cases where there's strong business benefit, we're implementing them here at EA. But I think one of the other bigger, I guess, trends that I'm particularly excited about, and what I think all CIOs need to worry about or to think about, is how all this technology actually does benefit the company that this technology is being implemented in. And what I'm talking about here is IT, you know, over the years has built very strong competencies around implementing projects, if you will, on time, on budget, on quality. And then as those projects go into production, IT has become very good about solving for scalability, reliability, high nines of availability, if you will. But I think where IT needs to go as the years go along here, or, you know, in the next few years, is really around building up business acumen, building up their ability to think about business strategy, because more and more businesses, they're finding that IT is the business. And IT needs to step up to make sure that they are influencing business strategy, if not directly formulating and developing business strategy. And by doing that, they can leverage the power of IT more than they've ever been able to in the past. And I've seen countless examples of where IT teams will focus heavily on what's the next big technology trend, but where I think IT needs to go in the years to come is to figure out what is the next big industry disruption, what's the next big business strategy or business priority that we need that can be enabled by IT, and make sure that we're influencing that, if not actually formulating those strategies to benefit the business as a whole.
What a great answer, and what a an important concept for all IT executives to bear in mind, since, of course, all operate in a greater business and not tying one's activities to the needs and strategies of the business obviously can be problematic. So I think an important concept that I hope resonates quite well with the rest of the CIO community who listens here. I actually wanted to ask one other follow-up question, Dennis. Operating in Silicon Valley obviously gives you, perhaps in some ways, unique access to some of these new companies that are delivering some of the very trends you were speaking about. Do you feel, as an executive who's operated in different geographies, do you feel like there are advantages in your ability to see some of these new solutions, new technologies, new companies at an earlier stage than maybe others can, just due to geography and proximity?
I think so. Sand Hill Road is famous for a lot of the venture capitalist and private equity firms that are out here. And, you know, as a result, you see a lot of startups that emanate out of Silicon Valley. And I go back to the point I made earlier that you live by the sword and die by the sword. There's a lot of startups that will come out here to talk to me about offerings. And, you know, the advantage is that we have sort of early signal that some of these offerings are coming along. The disadvantage is that we actually might go down one of those paths, if you will, of implementing some of that technology and finding out that it didn't, you know, endure the test of time, you know, that those technologies or those companies actually wound up not doing so well over the long term. So that's, you know, there's some pluses and minuses associated with being here in the Bay Area. You definitely have early signals of what's out there, what's coming, but at the same time, some of this stuff doesn't endure over the long term, and then you find that it's an experiment, maybe wasn't a good idea to fire off in the first place.
Great point. Great point, Dennis. Well, Dennis Self, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. What a great conversation. I really appreciate you sharing your perspectives with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on world-class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information about these five principles and sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our editor is Chris Davis, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.